As I said, today is a very special day. You know, it's the ordination of Leonard Tower and Dwayne Jackson. Just a special day. You know, when you step up and you decide, the church calls and you decide to do something for the Lord, I mean, it's a special time. It's not only special, but it's the time you put a tower gun on your back. It's been kind of a common theme that I've been talking about this past couple weeks, couple months, that when you stand up for the Lord, you know, times get rough a little bit. You know, why is that? You know, it's because the devil says, hey, look, there's somebody stepping up. We can't have that, can we? Right? And decides to go up there and try to attack him, you know. So that's why I've been saying, you know, we got to pray for these guys, not only for them, but, you know, all the other things we've been doing here. You know, when people step up, I'll tell you what, it can be a rough time for them, right? And they get through it eventually, you know, but I'll tell you what, during the time, it can be rough. But we're going to start off this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. My message this morning is more, it's going to be, of course, informative, if you will, of what the deaconship is, but it's also going to be mainly focused at our two deacons this morning. So if you're feeling ignored, all right, there's a reason to it, all right, for these guys up here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer. Father, I pray you'll just bless your word this morning. Bless our hearts. Lord, bless our understanding. Give us wisdom, Father, as we read your word. And bless the two men, Father, that are being brought forth for ordination this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start off in verse 8. The Bible says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the reason why I bring this part up this morning is to kind of, like I said, the informative portion of the ordination service this morning is, what is a deacon? What are the qualifications? What are we doing here? Why is this a special thing? Right? A deacon is basically, to kind of give a biblical definition of a deacon. There was a time, and I think we'll talk about this too a little bit later, but deacons are servants. They're servants. They were nominated by the church. The church has needs, obviously. The church has needs. There's only so much of myself and other workers, if you will, to go around. So one thing that I do appreciate about this church and that has been established, you know, for years now, is that they maintain a deacon body, a certain number, right, if all possible, right? And you know, we needed some more deacons, and the church nominated two, and they stepped up and they accepted, if you will, the calling. And here's the thing. When the church nominates a deacon, it's not just saying, we're just going to go out here and we're going to pick anybody that's out there. And the reason why this is a serious process is because we go through mentally, right, what a deacon is. Okay, well, as we start thinking about who should we nominate for a deacon, we start thinking about these things that we just read. It says here, and this is Paul's advice to Timothy. He said, hey, when you're starting to choose deacons, this is what you need to be thinking of. He says, deacons must be reverent. All right, here's the first qualification. The thing about reverence of deacons is, this can many times come with maturity, and sometimes it never goes away with maturity because it just can be part of somebody's personality. But being reverent is basically understanding when there's a time to be serious, and understanding when there's time to stop joking around. There's a time to pull your pants up, if that makes sense. And hey, let's get the work done. It's time to be serious. It's time to minister to others, if that makes sense. In the office of the deacons, how that applies there. As you know, there are some people out there, and what this is pointing to, there's some out there, as y'all know, some people just have a hard time being serious. You know, something bad can come up, and they try to make light of it, bless their hearts, honestly. They want to make light of a hard situation, but sometimes the way they make light of it can be kind of insulting. It's not a time to be light. It's not a time to make jokes and goof off, you know. And what this is saying here for deacons, they have to understand that there is a time to be reverent. There's a time to stand up straight, you know, and be serious. And you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a time to be serious is what it's saying here. Not double-tongued. Not double-tongued. You're not going out there spreading rumors. You understand that the importance of confidentiality. And why is that important amongst deacons? As deacons step up, you become, if you will, one of the pillars of the church, if that makes sense. You become a pillar. What do we do with pillars many times? Sometimes you're walking around, if you're tired, you've been walking many miles, sometimes you'll find something to lean on, a post, something to lean on, a wall, a pillar, right? Sometimes in church, you know, we got the deacons here, and you know, they're pillars of the church. There are sometimes when for whatever reason, and this is just up to the individual, you know, sometimes they don't want to talk to the pastor or any of the Sunday school teachers, right? They know the deacons really well. I'm going to talk to one of the deacons. I want to talk to them. You know, and they're one of the pillars of the church. Not double-tongued. There has to be a wisdom that comes with this to say, hey, you know what? When people talk to me, there has to be a wisdom and an understanding and a strength and a discernment to know that, hey, I need to understand when the stuff kinds of things need to be shared, if you will, and when it needs to be kept confidential. And when I mean things to be shared, if it's something like suicide or something like that, y'all know that's something serious. That has to, you know, we have to get help for those kinds of things. But, you know, in the concept of what I'm speaking about, you have to understand, not double-tongued, right? You're not saying one thing over here and over here, now you're going and saying something else. You're not spreading rumors over here and y'all get the understanding, right? You can't be double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Don't be out getting drunk. Right? That's basically what it's talking about. Not greedy for money. Right? One thing that has to be identified as a deacon is you don't come into this position looking for money. You're not coming here to get rich. Right? You're not coming to get this position. You're not saying, oh, I might get next paycheck, becoming a deacon. That's not it. Not greedy for money. You're not coming up to this point to get money. Holding the mystery of the faith. Now, this is definitely a mystery, and I'll explain this in a second as we get towards the end of the passage. But it says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. All right, like I said, I'll get back to that in a second. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons. Now, one thing that again, I appreciated at this church, we nominated these deacons several months ago, right? I said that was the testing period. Here it comes, right? The devil's going to attack. We're going to see how they stand up to it. The devil might not. I'm not saying it's certain every single time. But in my experience, it's fairly often. People step up for the Lord. Guess what? You know, get your gloves on. You know, get ready to stand firm. It can be rough. Right? There's a time to be tested. We've seen these two men as they've come forward these past couple months, not only here in church, but also participating in the deacons' meetings every month. We get to see that, right? And the other deacons have been witness to this, right? And I don't know if y'all know this, but they watch y'all, right? And it's that real responsibility. You can't just let anybody come in here. There's a watching, there's a responsibility on the deacons to make sure that, hey, we got the right people, right? Hey, we got the right people. Let these first be tested, the Bible says. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Once this testing period's over, you better believe if there was something found wrong, if you will, right, during this time, that it would be brought up. And I'll tell you what, that's a scary thing. For those that see something wrong and don't bring it up, woe unto you. I'm telling you now, because that's the responsibility, not only of the church, but after the church has nominated the deacons, now it's put in the hands of the deacon body, the current serving deacon body, to, hey, let's observe them, let's watch, let's give advice. Let's do these things, you know, to see. And nothing's been found, and I'm pleased with that. You know, and I didn't expect anything, to be honest with you, as I've got to know these men. But at the same time, that's part of this testing. That's part of the responsibility placed on the deacon body, the current deacon body. Hey, you know, we gotta not only mentor them, we ought also, hey, we gotta watch them. Likewise, their wives must be reverent. Right? I don't see their wives beating them on a daily basis, so I think we're good there. I don't see any black eyes coming to church or anything like that, okay? But I say that jokingly, but in a serious matter, you know, that wives must be reverent. Wives must be put together well. They must be just honorable women. That's what the Bible here is saying. Not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things, the Bible says. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, let ruling their children in their own house as well. When we first came here, excuse me, I came into the church for something. I saw Dwayne here cleaning the church, you know, with his daughter. I thought, what a neat thing, you know, what a neat family thing to come and do, you know, get your family involved as much as you can. And I understand as kids get older, as they get older, their own responsibilities, if you will, start coming into play, different things they got to do. But I was touched by that. I'll be honest with you. Y'all see me out here to clean the church, you know, and it's something that's not seen very often, you know. But I'll tell you what, every time we come in here on Sunday, the church is clean, and who did it? Wasn't the boogeyman, right? We got people coming to clean, but I appreciated that, you know, and I appreciated that. Verse 13 says, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's this mystery of the faith that we're talking about. This goes along with the testing. With testing, your faith is tried, the book of James says, right? Your faith is perfected through testing, right? Once these deacons are called, however their faith is tested, it might have came before the fact, it might continue after the fact, after today. But this faith, this mystery is what Paul is talking about of the faith there in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. As the testing starts, if you will, as that trying, as the Lord allows that trying and your faith gets strengthened, what it's talking about, this pure conscience, and I'll say this outside the family. If you got a gripe, I understand that. Sometimes it's good to get things off your chest. I understand the psychology of that. Sometimes you just have to, but you know, I think that's what the in these two individuals' case, that's what your wife is for. Hope you're not coming down on them. But at the same time, you know, if you need to get something off your chest, you know, your wife is there for you, and you'll talk to her about these things. And what it means, pure conscience, is as you're being tested, you're not going around complaining about, man, I never should have done this. What in the world was I thinking? You know, this was I set forward for the Lord, and look what happened. You know, that's what I'm talking about, a pure conscience. When you're dealing with these testings and you're dealing with this trying of the faith, you're not going around complaining about it. You're not going around faulting yourself. Yeah, you still might be standing strong. You still might be getting to where you're supposed to be, going for church and all the events, right? But you also, too, have to, what it say, deacons must be reverent, right? You're still holding yourself up. You're still that clean conscience is still there as you're going through the testing. And as your faith grows, character grows, boldness grows. You know, your boldness in the faith grows because, hey, it's stronger now. You know, you've been through something that maybe some other people haven't been through, and it's just something else that serves to strengthen the foundation of your faith as you go through things, right? But holding faith with a pure conscience. And lastly here, Paul says, and this is not only an admonishment to Timothy, but to all churches that followed Paul in Timothy's church after this, all churches since then, says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. And when I look at that verse, I say, yeah, Paul, he wants to come to Timothy shortly. But he also gives Timothy, says, you know, for us this means until Christ comes. You know, we got to hold on to these things. Hold on to these things that the apostles have structured, if you will, that the apostles wrote out for us. We hold on to these things till Christ comes. And I don't know how it's going to be then. It might still continue going. Christ might sit on the throne of Israel and say, hey, just keep on going with your church services like you have been before. You know, I don't know. But until Christ comes, we do know, just like Paul is saying, he says there in verse 14, he says, though I hope to come to you shortly. Verse 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. Right? So there's a huge responsibility right there for the church. Right? We keep dealing with these things. We keep nominating deacons. If positions open up and we feel the need of more deacons or more whatever else, you know, this applies to other offices of the church too. But keep doing these things, right, until Paul comes. And then in our case, until Christ comes and tells us otherwise. Right? So we keep doing these things. So that's basically, if you want to call it, the informative part. You know, what a deacon is. What have these men been going through these past couple months? You know, what the reason that we need to be praying for them. And the part, I know we got a portion of our ordination service, which is for the advice, if you will, of present deacons to come forward, give their advice and pray over the deacons, past deacons and pastors here, if there's any here. But my advice comes first. Obviously, I'm speaking, right? So we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 1. And I'll look at these two men this morning and I will tell them, if you want to be successful in what you're doing today, if you want to be successful in your office, you're not being called. You're not called because of who you were before. That's not the point. Maybe these past couple months, you're called because, yes, these past couple months we've seen who you are. But at the same time, as we move forward, this calling is not who you were before a year ago. It's not who you were 20 years ago. Whenever the calling of God comes on your life, it's what he's readying you for in the future. Right? It's the position he's calling you because of what you're going to be, this thing you're stepping into, things that are coming in the future. So if I could give you any advice, you know, short of just reading your Bible and praying every day and maintaining the qualifications that we've just read, we look at Psalms chapter 1, right? And if you could do anything for the body, how can I serve the body? You might have these questions popping in your head. How am I going to be a good deacon? What am I going to do? Psalms chapter 1. I think it's probably about the best advice I could give you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Right? There's a progression of here walking with ungodliness, if you will. We got walking. I was talking to the teens about this a little time ago. You know, walking. You know, be careful about the counsel of the ungodly. Right? If you're working, you're still around people at work that might not be saved. You might be working with people or working for people that aren't saved. Right? You have to make sure that you don't get their influence, let it affect your heart, if you will. The Bible says that the man that has no control over his emotions is like a city without walls. And if you don't learn to control your emotions, let's say Leonard, you're out there working for somebody this week, right? And you do something falls off the truck, breaks the window, and they let you have it. Man, all kinds of colorful language comes out of their mouth. What's your response? Your response is not going to be to yell back at them, right? Because guess what? You just lost control of emotion, right? You just let your walls down. That's basically what the Bible is saying, right? You keep those walls up. Respond in a kindly manner. What does the Bible say? That a soft answer turns away wrath. Respond in a Christ-like, loving manner. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it talks consistently about the patience with people and being long-suffering and graceful with people. Let all our words minister grace to others, the book of Ephesians says. Right? So blessed a man, don't let their influence, don't let that outside influence knock your walls down. Right? Maintain, build those walls up. Every morning that you wake up in the morning, read your Bible, pray, get that renewing of your mind going, build those walls up so you'll be strong. Right? And one thing that's interesting about walls is not only will you find solace in the security that you place yourself with Christ, but you might be curious to find that others will see that strength and they will look for security in you. There's something about that. Leadership has a security. There's a confidence in leadership that's different, right? And it's hard to explain. People that are really good at that are the administrators. We talked about motivational giftings of administrators. They seem always secure in their plans. I lean on it a lot, right? I find security in those that understand how to plan and line things up, right? But it's that same kind of security, even if you're not a planner, that the Word of God can provide you every single morning as you wake up and pray. Be careful of that influence. Just don't stand in the path of sinners, right? Don't stand there waiting for this influence. Don't sit with them, right? If that makes sense. It's not saying don't be friends of sinners, right? Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's not the point. Don't be in this company of sinners and let them influence you, right? If you feel yourself starting to be influenced, if you will, get up. That's what it's talking about. Walk away from that. You don't need to be under that influence as deacons. But at the same time, as deacons, you shore yourself up. You know, build that wall up in your heart and security in Christ. Let yourself be a light. Light their darkness, if you will. That's what this is talking about. Right? Now here's the next part. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know, 1 Thessalonians talks about praying without ceasing. You know, as we meditate in the Word day and night, that's a responsibility to Christians. Now again, if you want to be successful in this office, that's one thing to strive to do. Strive to have godly music playing. Strive to have, one thing I like to do is a habit, is have your Bible closed. Whether it's on your phone or your book, pull it close to you. Open your eyes, pull up your scripture. Inundate yourself, if you will, with the Word of God. Get to the place where you're putting so much of the Word of God in your heart that your mouth starts speaking out of the abundance of your heart and scripture comes out, right? And just do that. It's not hard to do, if you will, but it takes discipline. It takes getting up and reading your Bible, spending some time every day, whether it's 2 or 3 minutes, whether you decide to set aside an hour. Set some time aside for the Lord. Your life will change as you grow in this ministry. But also, not only that, you are going to be better for the people around you, better for the people you serve, right? Let's give two examples. Let's say on one hand, you stop reading your Bible, you stop praying, but you still show up to all the deacons' meetings and all that stuff, and you're still doing what you're supposed to do. But there's going to be an unsettledness about you. It'll be in your spirit. Other people that are close to the Lord will feel it. They're going to, just like when you see somebody that's stewing in anger, right? You feel their anger coming off. Man, what's going on with them? Don't go talk to them, right? It's the same thing with those in leadership. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, people are going to know. They're going to feel it. Your security and your walls are going to be unsettled. In that, the security of others that depend on you as pillars of the church, that's going to shake them also. So when you stop, if you ever decide to slip off the path, even for just a little bit or whatever it could be, if you get knocked off and you don't get off your path and you don't get back on right away, it's going to not only unsettle you, but now as pillars of the church, it might unsettle others, right? It's not only you anymore. It's not only you and your family, if that makes sense. Now you have a responsibility as a deacon to be reverent, to be all these things that we just read here in the Bible. And that responsibility lies on you. As other people in the church look to you, that's going to weigh on your shoulders, right? His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be, and then guess what will happen after that? What happens? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Some preachers in our society today have taken this word prosper to mean I'm going to have the nicest cars sitting in my driveway and the nicest house. That's not what it's talking about, right? Whatever you do, whatever God's called you to do will prosper. That's what that's talking about. If you want to be a good deacon for these people, and you want to be like that tree that's planted by the waters, you want to be that person that when they come around, not only are you a tree that's got deep roots, right? My grandpa used to plant apple trees by our pond. I mean, those things gave out so many apples every year, it was crazy. Goodness, there were apples everywhere. We couldn't even pick them all up. There were so many of them, right? We used to have deer come out there once we picked all our apples, and my grandpa just sat on his porch, you know, across the pond, shot deer, right? Easiest deer hunting ever. He didn't have to leave the house. I say this jokingly, but sometimes my grandpa, bless his heart, he'd sit out there in his underwear and shoot deer across the pond. But they'd come there and they would eat the apples, you know? But he did that on purpose. He planted those trees right by the pond. And man, those things, man, they were just so heavy. He had to trim them every year. They were so heavy with apples, right? But if you read the Bible, you delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to be like one of those trees with deep roots. Some people, they can come hang out by the tree. I used to love climbing trees. And if you want to put this word picture in your heart, you know, Christians come in climbing around the tree, you know, because they're so secure. Not only do they find the security of these trees, but they also get the fruit of it. They get fed. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody that are just so secure in the Lord that when you leave, even though you didn't talk about Bible very much, you just leave feeling uplifted? That's what I'm talking about. Your spirit gets fed and you don't even know it. You know, and that's kind of what this is talking about. And this goes for every Christian, but especially for the deacons here today. If you want to be successful in this, whatsoever you do will prosper, right? Whatsoever you do within the calling of the Lord will prosper if you do these things. It can't not prosper, right? That'd be impossible, right? It can't not prosper. Now, verse 4 gives us the other side. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Right? So, you know, on the other hand, if you want to be unsuccessful, if you want to destroy your foundation, you know, be ungodly. Don't do these things. You know, if you want to just destroy your foundation, if you want to mess everything up, don't do these things, right? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, right? So the Lord knows your path. I do understand, of course, that God called you guys here as deacons today. Obviously, here we are. But at the same time, I don't know what's ahead. You know, every deacon, we all have our trials. We all have our troubles. I don't know what's ahead. I do know that prayer will shore you up. And just like I do know that reading your Bible and praying will prepare you best prepare you for those things. You know, finding other deacons here. All the deacons here are here for you. You know, they're all here for you. You need advice, ask them, all right? I've personally never been a deacon. So if you ask me advice of being a deacon that goes past my knowledge, if you will, and just showing you the Bible, and it's more situational, that, hey, we got Horace, Charles, we got Junior and Phil, and we have other previous deacons like Fred, and we got Marilyn back, Bill, we got all the deacons here. There's so many sources, if you will, of wisdom and understanding of those that have gone before you. Right? Another thing, the book of Hebrews says that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Now, what does that mean? All eyes are on you, not only today, but moving forward. Right? Moving forward. If you're ever going to be scrutinized more in your Christian life, it's going to be in the time shortly after you accept the service. Shortly after you surrender to it. They're going to be watching. You're going to slip up. Right? And hopefully not in a malicious way, but they're going to be looking to say, hey, you know, are they really the pillars? Are they really the correct people that we've elected? Right? All eyes are going to be on you. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord has your way planned out. Don't worry too much. The Bible also says, don't worry. Don't think too much out for the future. You know, think about today. Think about all the blessings of today. If you know tomorrow is just something bad's coming tomorrow, reside in today. Think about everything the Lord's done for you today. Tackle the battle tomorrow when it comes. You know, I'm not saying don't plan. That's not the point. But the point is, learn how to find solace, if you will, in the moments. In the moments. Right? One of the things that's interesting, if you read about soldiers that have gone through a lot of combat, and Vietnam veterans especially, they will say that they were in combat so much, you know, throughout the day, over and over, so many firefights, that the only time they could find time to relax is when they would stop, you know, for that hour, those 2 hours, and just be able to, man, that peaceful, and listen to the jungle. You know, how much that renewed them, just that little bit of time. Man, battle started right back up again. You know, and I pray that your lives won't be like that, you know, and it's not very often that our lives are like that. But even if it is, I pray that during those times of rest, that you learn how to find that solace and say, hey, this right here in this time, you know, things are good. Let me enjoy this. Let me not worry about, you know, what could happen in the future. But the Bible says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God's got your ways planned out. If I fail you, if the deacons fail you, if the church fails you, you never have to worry that God's going to fail you. He knows your path. He's going to hold you up as long as you trust in him and hang on, if that makes sense. The book of Jonah is an interesting book because it says, If you run from the Lord, you're forsaking his mercy. Basically what the whole topic, if you will, that Jonah, the teaching of the life of Jonah. If you leave the Lord, if you run from him, you're forsaking his mercy and protection. That's what it is. So I advise you, don't run from the Lord, right? You already obviously already have not. But you know what? Enjoy the protection of God. You know, stay in that. Do your best to stay in it. You know, especially with the things that I had just said. And then also, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Rest assured, especially in this office, in this position of higher accountability, rest assured that if y'all don't hold this up, you not only have those of us others, myself and the other deacons, as accountability, but you also have God to deal with. God takes it very seriously when he calls somebody up and he says, that's why they say teachers and pastors and all those of these offices are held doubly responsible. You mess up because people are following you. When you mess up, like I just said a little bit ago, if and when, or hopefully never, but if you mess up, it not only affects you now it's going to affect others. It affects others. Not only will it affect others of the church, but people in the community that might know about it. People didn't hear about it. All the ungodly world, as you know, is always looking for an excuse to throw mud at Christianity. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. It don't matter if you're a good Christian. What about that? I heard about another Christian that was out there in the bars drinking. You know, so that's their justification to stay away. Right? So that responsibility, you know, to be reverent, to walk tall, to understand how to be serious, not double-tongued, and be a pillar of this church. And again, I just encourage you, if you ever need advice, you need prayer, whatever it is, you have the deacons here that have so much wisdom, the prior deacons, right? And then myself, I got a ton of advice from JD a few weeks ago, right? They're never too old to give advice, okay? So don't think that, right? But at this time, I'd like to, as we move into the more formal part, if you will, of our ordination. Now that, I'd like to ask Leonard and Dwayne if you come up here and sit in these chairs. Might have you pull them out a bit. Carol, can you help with that, please? Just pull them out that way just a bit. Yeah, there you go. That's good. And we have in our bulletin, we had these little handouts, and you can read along with me silently, but I'll read this. And then the response of the church, and just go ahead and face the church. I'll have you guys face the church, if you don't
face
mind.
Face the church right now?
Yes, face the church right now.
Playing on
hand. Yeah, play musical chair, that's it. Yeah. But go ahead and face the church. This is you before the church. This is as you look at the church, and as the church looks back at you, and we're going to look at these things. Dwayne Jackson and Leonard Towery, you have both been chosen by our congregation to this high office of deacon. As set forth in the scriptures, do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ by your life? And do you promise in the presence of this congregation to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church and to the best of your knowledge and ability to discharge all these duties of office? In response be, we do. All right. Now, the congregation. The concept of the deacon came out of the early church when the apostles were overworked and needed help. It was decided that seven men of honest, full report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, be appointed over business. This pleased the multitude, and the high office was created. Do you, as members of this congregation, acknowledge these men and as deacons in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them fully in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? Now charge the deacons. The office of deacon is a high office in the church and requires our best to him who has called us. Having its beginnings in the early Christian church to serve the congregation, let us not forget the true calling of service that is our responsibility. Let us serve as a single unit and testimony of Christ's kingdom of God as we are led by a good conscience and a pure and clean heart before God. I charge you as your Christian responsibility to accept these new deacons as one of you, and that you should be in prayer for them as they enter into this new responsibility. Will you pledge to them and to our church your support that the true witness of God's love may light the paths of his will in our lives? Will you dedicate yourselves with them to be a living testimony to a living God in life?
We will.
Amen. Now at this time, I'm going to start with Horace, our chairman of deacons. But if there's any deacons, present deacons in the congregation, past deacons, if you want to come up, we're all going to lay hands on them one by one. I'll have Horace go ahead and lead off. And we're just going to get in line here. And this is important. The Bible gives so many instances where the laying on hands from the elders, if you will, to the next people coming up, right, to the next generation. The hands are laid on. There's advice given, right? And if y'all want to go ahead and give your advice, if you will, and once the advice is given, you pray over them. We'll go ahead and pray collectively over them after all this is done. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we've had the deacons come by, Lord, we've all laid hands on them. Father, just as a church, collectively as a church, Lord, we just lift these two men up to you. Father, as we present them for your service, Father, I pray you'll work in their lives. Lord, anoint them with the Holy Spirit, Father, and just, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them, strengthen them, Lord, in the things that they prepare to do. Lord, and of course, maybe even more importantly, Lord, be with their families. Lord, the wives, Father, strengthen them. Lord, give them wisdom beyond their years, Lord, beyond their experience. Lord, to know how to give advice to their husbands as they step forward in this office. Lord, again, I pray that these trees, Lord, that they'll plant the roots deep. Lord, that they'll be strong pillars, Father, for our church. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you, Father, for these two men that have stepped up. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, at this time, I want to present two certificates and a book for you. Great little book. I don't know. There's a lot of wisdom in these things. I've learned. I'll tell you what. I want to present this certificate on David's ordination. Leonard Towery, you know, from Beth Baptist Church. And also the book. A little wisdom in this book here. Dwayne Jackson, certificate from the church. Here's the book. A lot of stuff in here. You can carry this stuff around with you. Read it from time to time. It's good stuff. At this time, we'll go ahead and have a let me go ahead and pray, and we'll have a closing song, right? Lord, again, I just thank you, Father, for these deacons. I thank you, Lord, for what they're about to do in their life. Lord, bless our day. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You go ahead and stand with me. We'll have a closing song. Start a little procession. If you want to start here with the deacons here, we'll start with Dwayne, and we'll just shake hands, congratulate them, and then you all be dismissed, all right?